In 2017, an estimated 48.9 million incident cases of sepsis were recorded worldwide. Sepsis-related deaths were reported to be an estimated 11 million, and this represented around 19.7% of all global deaths. Welcome to this episode of Hashtag Health. This is part one of our two-part series on sepsis. Although sepsis is a large contributor to global mortality, a large portion of people here at home in Canada haven't heard of it. Specifically, a recent survey of 3,200 Canadian adults reported that 39% of them hadn't heard of sepsis. What's more, only 32% of the sampled adults knew about the signs, risk factors, and strategies to lower risk. On today's episode, we hope to clearly define what sepsis is, how it is diagnosed and treated, and what some of the variation in presentation might look like. Before we dive in, let's meet our guest, Dr. Alex Lelikdovich.
Great. Well, Jay, thank you very much for inviting me to be part of your very exciting project. I think it's got an important impact on the general population and students as they're going through their medical training. So I'm delighted to help out. I'm a clinician scientist at the London Health Sciences Center and at Western University. I have a role as a clinician in the intensive care unit at University Hospital, which takes up 20% of my time, my academic time. And I also am a scientist at Robarts Research Institute, where I spend the majority of my time performing research related to immune responses associated with outcomes in patients who are critically ill.
Let's start with the foundations. We asked Dr. Lelikdovich to define sepsis, what it is, how it is diagnosed, and how patients usually present.
Absolutely. So sepsis is a concept that was first brought into the medical vocabulary by Hippocrates over 2 millennia ago. It's a term that means to rot, and it was understood that patients who are sick sometimes develop fever and sometimes die. And as to what causes it was a mystery for many, many centuries until about the 18th, 19th centuries when it was recognized that there are things called microorganisms that cause infection. And it wasn't really till the 20th century that the idea that infection can be disseminated and cause so much bodily harm that it causes individuals to develop shock became apparent. So sepsis itself is an infection that has gone awry, an infection at a local site such as the lung or the urinary tract that unfortunately has surpassed the body's immune surveillance mechanisms and has resulted in systemic inflammation. And sepsis itself is not an infection, it's the body's response to infection. This was really first described in 1991 when the sepsis definitions were first established, and it has gone many revisions since then. But our current accepted definition of it and what we all study and try to understand better is that sepsis is a dysregulated immune response. And what we still don't understand is what dysregulated means and what the immune response itself is. So most individuals who present with an infection that leads to sepsis present with really non-specific symptoms. When they start feeling unwell, they sometimes develop changes in their level of consciousness. Sometimes they develop fever. Sometimes they just feel generally unwell, and that prompts them to seek medical attention. And when they're really unwell and feel that they can't walk or are so hypotensive that they don't perfuse their brain and become confused, they tend to present to the emergency department. And these presentations are usually very nonspecific, and sepsis mimics other syndromes such as potentially heart attacks, hemorrhage, or other things that can cause severe depression in the blood pressure, and that can cause confusion. So a lot of patients present non-specifically, and the way we manage them up front is because sepsis has many mimics and many things mimic sepsis, we offer antibiotics very early in individuals who have signs of hypotension. Because if infection is missed, unfortunately, for each hour that antibiotics are not administered in patients with an infection and hypotension, mortality in such individuals increases by approximately 7%. So it's imperative that we start antimicrobials early, but it's also now recognized that if this is not sepsis, that they are stopped when appropriate. So that's certainly something that's been recognized in the last decade, is that antimicrobials also are harmful. The other form of therapy that we offer, because patients present with hypotension, is augmenting the blood pressure to improve perfusion or blood flow to the brain and vital organs, such as the heart and the kidneys. And that's usually done with intravenous fluids, also very non-specific therapy. And an ongoing area of research includes what volume to administer and what fluid to administer safely before potentially starting vasopressors, which is another non-specific therapy that's started in order to augment blood pressure once the blood vessels in your body have been repleted with adequate fluid.
Now that we have a general understanding of sepsis being the body's response to an infection, let's get a better sense of what this can look like in the clinic. We asked Dr. Lelikdovic to speak to what a quote-unquote average patient may present like.
This is a very difficult question, because I would say that with respect to sepsis, there is really no typical patient. Each patient presents differently. And the reason for that is because sepsis is a syndrome. And what a syndrome is a constitution of symptoms that depends on the individual's past medical history. And that's something that we do not have any control over. But specific to sepsis, it depends on the organism that causes it. And it also depends on the organ that's affected. So, for example, most recently, in the last 3 years, one of the things that we've been inundated with in the intensive care unit was sepsis due to COVID pneumonia. And that presentation was very, I would say, typical. And during the early phases and peaks of the pandemic, what we saw a lot of in the emergency department were individuals who were presenting with altered levels of consciousness and hypoxia, meaning they were confused and had inadequate oxygen in their blood, and they were presenting with difficulty breathing, and their chest x-rays were suggestive of an infection in their lungs, and then they would swab positive for COVID. So that was a typical presentation for sepsis due to COVID pneumonia. But I would say in the history of critical care, that and probably infections due to influenza are the very few things that present typically when it comes to sepsis. Other infections usually are less obvious. So the organs that we typically screen for when patients come in with confusion and hypotension include the lungs, the kidneys, and the gastrointestinal tract as the three most common places where infection leading to sepsis comes from. So another typical patient, if you put the COVID and pneumonia patients aside, might be somebody who presents to the emergency department with nausea, vomiting, and a distended abdomen. And we find out that they're hypotensive, and we're suspected that their hypotension might be due to something happening in their belly. And that would be a typical presentation of somebody who's presenting with sepsis due to a perforated viscus. And what that means is an abdominal organ, such as the gastrointestinal tract or the small or large intestine, that might either be impacted by stool that ruptures or have strictures that cause rupture, or potentially a malignancy that has not yet been diagnosed. And that individual would have a large bacterial load in their abdominal cavity. And that leads to systemic symptoms that are associated with sepsis. So the confusion, hypotension, and fevers and so forth. So that's another common presentation. And then the other common organ, as I mentioned, of the three organs is the urinary tract. And that presentation can be quite dramatic, but usually patients who present with urinary tract infections are not as severely sick as those with lung infections and gastrointestinal infections. They usually don't have as much hypoxia. Their abdomen might not be as distended, and it's more clear that their infection might be due to a urinary tract because their urine might be cloudy, or the symptoms that they suggest or they present with, such as, you know, difficulty urinating or pain in the back of their abdomen and the posterior part of their body might be suggesting a urinary stone. So they're probably the most three common presentations you'd present with. But again, keeping in mind that these patients usually are non-specific, and it's not always obvious that they might have infection that leads to sepsis.
So to recap, sepsis is a dysregulated immune response, and patients can present in a variety of ways. They tend to present with an infection and non-specific symptoms, and patients with sepsis are typically treated with antibiotics and fluids. If you'd like to learn more about the topics presented today, we've linked to a couple of great online resources in the episode description. Before we wrap up, I briefly want to define the word syndrome. A syndrome is a group of signs and symptoms that typically occur together and are suggestive of a particular condition. In part 2, we will discuss the syndrome model of medicine, why it is important, and where we can run into some problems. Thank you for tuning in. We'd like to thank Dr. Leliktovich for taking the time to be on the show. To be the first to hear about our new episodes, please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at #HealthPodcast. See you next time.